I would like to ask you, if you would, if you have your Bibles with you, to open them to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 is where we're going to be. In a pew Bible, you're going to find that on page 1203. Do you remember back in the, this is like maybe in the 80s or the 70s, there was a commercial on TV with a guy laying in bed, and he said to his wife, "I feel all stuffy, achy, and nasty, and I need some of that stuffy, achy, nasty medicine." Do you remember that commercial? That was me last night. I was laying there beside my wife, and she finally got up and left, went downstairs. But I said to her, "I am just not good at being sick. Some people are good at this, but I'm not. And I am a bad whiner when I am sick. And I don't like it either because my ears get plugged up and can't breathe right and stuff like that." And I was thinking about that. I thought, why do people whine when they're sick? Why do I feel a need to tell my wife, who I know can do nothing about this, you know? And she would if she could. You know, if Laurel could fix it, she sure would. But why do you feel a need? Are you like that? When you're sick, do you want other people to know it? And I think the part of that is we wish that they could fix it and they can't. I think another part of it is we just wish we could unload it. You know, if I could just give this to somebody else, not necessarily your wife, but if I could just get somebody else to take this, that would be a lot better. Someone else can take my ears that aren't right this morning. Someone else can take my nose that feels like somebody lit a campfire inside my nostrils. You know, just the whole thing. If somebody could take that, that would be great. And that kind of ties in with the passage we're looking at today. We've been talking about, on Sundays, the first Sunday of each month, for about the past 5 months, we've been talking about what it means to know God. And we talked about it means prayer. It means you can talk to God about what's going on in your life. And we talked about how it meant hearing His voice. And that God, by His Holy Spirit, leads you and guides you and speaks to your heart. If you're a Christian, you can find His comfort sometimes through His voice. You can find His direction. You can find a number of other things as you listen to Him. It also means knowing His heart, that God has shared with us what His heart is interested in. And you can just sense sometimes that here's what the heart of God would like to see happen here. And it means following His leading. Well, this morning, I want to communicate to you that a big part of knowing God is throwing stuff on Him, casting stuff on Him. And a passage I want to look to speaks about giving Him your anxieties, your cares, your problems. And I want us to look at it in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 5. And I want you to see this in context, because I would guess a number of you can quote 1 Peter 5, 7. But it's really important for us, if we really want to understand the Word of God, to understand some of the context of a lot of verses we've memorized. So I want to give you some context here. Take a look at it as we begin in verse 5. Peter is writing, and he says, "Young men," now he's writing to Christians, by the way. So he says to them, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, everybody, young men, young ladies, old ladies, middle-aged, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Now, as we look at this passage, I kind of feel compelled to tell you that this is for Christians young and old. If you're what it means to know God series that I've been doing over the past several months is kind of focused for new Christians, because last year I think we had 24 people raise their hand and say, "Yes, I choose to follow Christ." So it's for new Christians. If you've only been following Christ for a year or a few months or since last night or for you know, just a couple years, this is for you. But this sermon and this passage is also for people who have been around for a while. It's for long-time Christians as well. Because what it speaks of in this passage, what it tells you, is that Jesus wants to carry your burden. He wants you to cast onto Him the things that trouble you, that give you grief. In fact, the action word, the action verb in verse 7 is cast. And a word that's there is kind of like It cracks me up when the kids go to Life or when they're going to a junior high retreat or senior high retreat and they're ready to go, someone will bring a van and they'll open the back of that van and kids are just throwing their luggage in there, you know, like boom, you know, and it's kind of like being at the airport watching them mount through the window what they're doing to your luggage in the plane. And that very same word, cast, is used here to say, do that with your baggage. Cast it onto Jesus. Give it to him because he cares for you. And it doesn't matter if you're a new Christian or an old Christian. He wants your baggage. Now, if I've been a Christian for years, this passage has a special application for me. And there's two reasons I want to emphasize that. The first reason is because sometimes longtime Christians can stop doing this. If you've been a Christian for a long time, there's a tendency, I've seen it in other people, and I've seen it in myself, that we kind of stop giving Jesus our problems. We stop trusting him with our problems. And I think the reason for this is that as we grow in our walk with God, and we mature in Christ, we kind of feel like we don't need to do that anymore. I've been a Christian for 20 years. I can handle this problem, and I will. I don't need to give this to Jesus. I mean, I've dealt with worse than this. Been down roads worse than this. And I'll just handle this myself. And when we do that, we really deprive ourselves of a blessing God has for us. And if we as Christians who have been around a while, if we think we can handle things on our own, I fear that we're in for a rude awakening. Because we're going to fall. It's going to hit us one morning like a bucket of water, you know, right in the face. It's like, oh man, what just happened there? It would be dangerous to think that you have grown your walk with God to the place that you don't have to give stuff that you can't handle to him, that you can handle everything, because you can. And the second reason I say this is for those of us that have been Christians for a while is because this passage leads me to believe that Christians sometimes fail to give their problems to God because they feel like they want to maintain control. Take a look here. The application that Peter is making is an application that is inside of the church family. He is speaking to people of the church. Look again at verse 5. He says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And if you feel like you can't do that, if you feel like you need to be in control and you can't humble yourself toward one another and toward God, then this passage is really for you. You need to begin to be willing to do that again, maybe, as a Christian who's been around a while. And again, to hand those problems to God. Okay, so we see this applies to new believers. If you're a new Christian, this is for you. And it applies to long-time believers. So what does it mean to cast your anxieties or your cares on God? I mean, it's really easy for me to say, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But what does that really mean, and how do I really do it? And to get the answer to that, you really have to understand what an anxiety is and how this word is used. We use anxiety in many ways, you know. I'm really filled with anxiety about the Steeler game this afternoon because it feels to me like the Steelers think they already won this. You read and you hear them talk and it's like, I'm a little anxious about that. That is not what this passage is talking about. Not at all what this passage is talking about. The word anxiety here actually means a bit of a distraction. Here's what it is. This is a figure of speech that's not used often, but I use it because I like it. When your spouse is doing something that you don't like, and you've tried to talk to him about it, and they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and it's kind of just making you crazy, often you'll say, man, that wife of mine, she just drives me to distraction. You understand? Drives me to distraction. And what that means is that if it's your wife, that she is doing something that you are just unable to focus on anything else. It's distracting you from your work and everything else because she just kind of, all you can think about is that. You're almost obsessing on it. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. He says those things in human relationships, because remember the context is about young men and older men, all of you humbling yourself before one another. Those things that you see in your brothers and sisters in Christ, Give those to God. You got someone in your church family that's just driving you to distraction? Cast on Jesus. You got someone in your own family that's just driving you to distraction? Cast him on Jesus. You got someone at work or a neighbor or, oh, here's one, an in-law that's just driving you to distraction? Cast him on Jesus. You see, this term isn't about anxieties like, boy, I really hope I did good on my SAT, or boy, I really hope that she'll say yes and go to the Valentine's banquet with me. The anxieties that are spoken of here are things that distract you from having healthy relationships and being fruitful in the kingdom of God. You got those things? You got to give those to Jesus. You got to just hand those things to Jesus. Young men, it says here, to be submissive to leadership. Older men. Got a problem with that? Give that problem to Jesus. Or all of us behaving in humility toward one another. You got a problem because someone else is getting more attention than you, or someone else is getting more recognition than you? Because I said last night, I said, Ellis Miller, we want to thank Ellis, and we clapped for him, but we didn't clap for you last night. You got a problem with that driving you to distraction? Give it to Jesus. Give it to him. Because you're always going to have those problems. Because in a church family or in your human family or in your job market or with your in-laws or with your next door neighbors, they will always do things that trouble you. And you can't just fix all that. If it's driving you to distraction, cast that on Jesus. Now, if I'm going to cast my cares on him, if I'm really going to do that, I'm going to have to admit that I just can't control this. And then I'm going to have to admit that I don't need to control it. I can't control this. And I don't need to control it. Man, that preacher ours, he goes over every Sunday. Drives me to distraction when he does that. I can't control it. I guess I don't need to control it. Kickoff's not till 6:20. I think we'll be okay. You know? Right? Man, that Sunday school teacher of mine, I can't believe what he did this morning. He did this. Can't control it. Don't need to control it. Doesn't mean you don't talk to him about it. Doesn't mean you don't go to him personally and say, hey, you know, I don't know that I bought that. Man, that, well, you fill in the blank, pastor, Sunday school teacher, whoever it is, this passage is in the context of the church family, and what it's telling you to do is just give that to Jesus and say, Jesus, you got to take care of that situation. Now, I don't know what situation you're in this morning. I don't know if you have these kinds of anxieties in your life today. If you don't, you will. If you don't, if you haven't, you surely will. But what I want to give you opportunity to do today, and what I want to show you how to do today, is just really practically how to give them to Jesus. And this is how it works. You just look at that situation, and after you have done the good that you know to do, after you have dealt with it to the point where you recognize there's nothing more you can do with it, then you talk to God. You just bow your heart and you say, God, I can't fix this situation. I can't change this situation. I really can't do anything with this situation. And I am sick of being distracted by it. And so I give it to you, God. And I ask you to do whatever you want with it. Now here's my problem. When I cast that kind of anxiety, that kind of distraction onto God, I keep pulling it back off of him. You know, I take my baggage and I say, God, I don't know what to do with this baggage anymore. And I throw it into the back of the van. I say, you take it and get it out of here. I can't deal with it. And then I start thinking about it some more. And I'm like, I'm pulling it back out. You know, don't do that. Give it to him and say, God, you've got to deal with this because I don't know how to deal with it. And I've tried. You just got to take care of it. What you will find is it is a spiritual discipline to do that. It is a matter of really trusting him in faith that whatever he does with that situation is going to be the best. It is a matter of really letting go of it and trusting that however he wants to work that out, since you haven't been able to, must be the best way. And it's a matter of committing not to pull it back out of the back of the van, but letting it go, just dumping it off. Let it all go. A lot of times, the things that drive me to distraction are really small things in the scope of eternity. You ever want to experienced that. Stand with someone while his house is on fire. And have him look at you and say, "Pastor Steve, all I have is the clothes I'm wearing." And then think about you want to whine because somebody said something mean to you. Or somebody didn't smile at you the way you wished they would have. Or someone didn't pat you on the back. That kind of puts that all into perspective, doesn't it? So today, whatever your distraction is, give it to Jesus. Leave it with Him. And choose to love. Humble yourself before your brothers and sisters in Christ. And rest in them. I want to give you opportunity to do that as we receive communion today. Each Sunday that we receive communion, we take time to examine ourselves. The Scripture says that a person ought to examine himself before he eats or drinks of the cup. This is your chance to just take a look inside and say, "God, are there small things, petty things, or huge things, like a house fire or whatever, that is driving me to distraction and therefore keeping me from being the person you want me to be?" And by the way, I didn't mean to say these distractions are small. Sometimes they're giant, huge burdens. Whatever they are, though, Jesus wants you to cast them on Him. And He wants to carry those for you. And so as you examine yourself, tell God your burdens. Give them to Him. And trust Him to carry them in a way that's appropriate.